John Patton was a Christian missionary, and in 1858, he and his young pregnant wife went to the primitive island of Tanna in the New Hebrides. During the first year there, she died of a fever, and that was followed 17 days later by the death of their one-month-old son. Grief-stricken, John Patton buried his wife and his child, and he recorded these words, and I quote, "It was very difficult to be resigned, left alone, and in sorrowful circumstances, but feeling immovably assured that my God and Father was too wise and loving to err in anything he does or permits, I looked up to the Lord for help and struggled on in his work. I do not pretend to see through the mystery of such visitations wherein God calls away the young, the promising, and those sorely needed for his service here. But this I do know and think, that in the light of such dispensations, it becomes us all to love and serve our blessed Lord Jesus, so that we may be ready at his call for death and eternity." Now, I use that quote, in a sense, for the opening words, because I want to focus upon those opening words. It was very difficult to be resigned, left alone, and in sorrowful circumstances. Alone and sorrowful. Now, many of us, in different ways, have had that kind of experience. We felt alone. We felt isolated. We felt sad. We felt down. We felt in despair. You may think in time, things in the past when you felt just like that. You may be feeling it this morning here in church. And at those points, you may have echoed those opening words of that Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? John Patton didn't feel forsaken by God. But many of us have felt just that. David the psalmist did, and Jesus did, because we read from Mark 15, verse 34, how on the cross, says this, at 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken?" There on the cross, he felt forsaken. We may have felt forsaken. David did. Jesus did. And that leads me to the first question. What does being forsaken look like? What does being forsaken look like? Well, in the psalm, as David writes it, there are three things that cause David to feel forsaken by God. The first is silence. Verse 2. "Oh my God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night I am not silent." So day and night he's crying out to God, and what does he hear? Nothing. Nothing. Perhaps as a child, you can remember being in the house, and you thought somebody else was there, and suddenly you shout out, "Mom, Dad," or whatever, and it's nothing. And you're aware you're on your own. And there's a sense of fear, of panic, of uncertainty. David cried out to God, and God didn't seem to be there. He didn't seem to be listening. He certainly wasn't answering. He felt alone and forsaken. Silence. And then to scorn, verse 6 to 8. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." David was trusting in God, and people were mocking him, scorning him, because of his faith in God. Does that ring bells with you? Here he was, standing for God. And where was God? He felt forsaken. And he was suffering. Verses 12 and 13. "Many bulls surround me, Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey. Open their mouths wide against me. Here in the verses that follow, David describes some of his suffering. And he still describes it in terms of bestiality, because what he was experiencing, or what the psalm experiences, is suffering that lacks any of the constraints of humanity. He was suffering. And he cries out, verse 2, to God, who doesn't seem to hear. He was suffering. But God was silent. God seemed to have forsaken him. Remember very clearly, 40 years ago, walking with my dog across Ryslip Common, and as I walked, tears were rolling down my face. Because our daughter had just been born, and she was born 9 weeks premature. At that point in time, she was struggling for life in an incubator. Ruth was in a hospital with her. I was on my own. I felt forsaken. Now that's my experience. Your experience may be different. But many of us have had that experience of feeling that God's not there. We're crying out to God. And where is God? So what do we make? What do we make of the reality of God's forsakenness? I think to understand it and to find some hope when we do feel forsaken, we just need to dig a little bit deeper into the psalm. And to recognise that while David wrote the psalm, and David is speaking part of his own experience, it seems to go way beyond what David experienced. David suffered. I don't think he faced anything so final or total as we see in the psalm here. Yet as we read Jesus' words in Mark 15, as we see the way that Jesus was dealt with at his crucifixion, we can see that actually King David was looking ahead to a greater king to whom all this would happen. We see the cross in the Old Testament. We see the cross in Psalm 22. We read verses 15 through 18. Again, if you've got your Bible open there with me, do follow it. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Can you see the cross reflected in those words? On the cross, Jesus endured such inhumane suffering. His hands and his feet were pierced. The scorn and mockery was hurled at him. Having cried out for the cup to be taken from him, he suffered the silence of his Father. No wonder. No wonder he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he cried out from that depth of suffering, which was unknown to David, and unknown to you and I. There is a reality in the psalm, a reality of suffering, scorn, silence, which perhaps you can identify with, but it was only fulfilled in the events surrounding the death of Jesus. What does forsakenness look like? It's suffering. It's scorn. And in the light of that, a silence where God doesn't seem to be there. David speaks of very real suffering. But in that, he speaks also of a real faith. Because very literally, in the middle of his forsakenness, David speaks of faith. Following each of those three things, there is a piece where David speaks of real faith. So having spoken in verse 2 of the silence of God, we then read verse 3 and 4. Again, follow it with me. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. Here is faith. A faith that God has acted in response to the cries of his people in the past. In the past, the people had cried out to God, and God had responded to them and delivered them. As I mentioned earlier on, I've read John Patton's biography, and I do find biographies of Christian men and women very helpful, because I see how in perhaps sometimes extreme situations, God proves faithful. And I look and think, well, yeah, God did that. God proved faithful to his people. Surely God can continue to prove faithful. That's what David is saying here. God, you were faithful in the past. I think I can trust you to be faithful now. You were faithful to your people. I think I can trust you to be faithful to me. But it wasn't just the experience of others that David draws from. Again, having spoken about scorn in verse 9 and 10, we read these words. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. Even at my mother's breast, from birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. When I wonder, as I have done at times, whether God is there, I look back at my life and I see times when I know for definite God was there. And I know for definite God has answered prayer. And that gives me the encouragement to keep walking with God. As I walked across that common with my dog and cried out to the Lord, God so wonderfully answered. But I cried out because I knew at times in the past God had answered. I knew that I was living in that area because God had called me and God placed me there. And as I reflect on that now, I see how wonderfully God answered. And as I look at my daughter's the one on the right now, I'm amazed at how God has worked in her life and continues to work through her life. On this Mothering Sunday, the words of David, where he speaks about being brought out of the tomb, and from his mother's womb you have been my God, just reminds us again of the role that mothers and fathers have to play in their children. Many of us here, not myself, but some of you will have had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. I look at my daughter now, I see her teaching Jesus to her children, modelling the Christian faith, and mothers and fathers. This is the chief thing we can do for our children, is to teach them about Jesus and model Jesus for them. There we are, got Mothering Sunday into Psalm 22. What David is showing us here is that our own experience of God's work in our lives can encourage us when we feel forsaken. When we feel forsaken, when we're thinking God's not listening to me, we can go back and think, well, actually, no, God did listen to me there. He did hear my prayer there. Surely he would hear my prayer now. So it's in the light of God's faithfulness to his people, in the light of God's faithfulness to David himself, that David does cry out to God. Verse 19. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. He may feel forsaken, but God's faithfulness in the past encourages him to cry out to God. And for David, it was the fact that in the past he made what may have been small prayers to God and found them answered, that led him there, at this point where everything was falling apart, to cry out to God again. C.S. Lewis, in his book Letters to Malcolm, chiefly about prayer, writes this, and I quote, "Those who do not turn to God in petty trials will have no habit or such resort to help them when the great trials come. So those who have not learned to ask him for childish things will have less readiness to ask him for great ones." It's a great lesson there, isn't it? That as we learn to ask for small things and find God faithful, so we then feel able to ask him for huge things. Here is the reality of David's experience. He felt forsaken, and yet God was there, and he cried out. And that brings us to verse 21, which is the key to the whole psalm. And I don't think our translation in our Bible helps. Let me put a different translation, which I think it makes it clearer. Save me from the mouth of the lion and from the horn of the wild ox. You have answered. In verse 2, David says, you haven't answered. Here he says, you have answered. And the rest of the psalm, which we didn't read, is David's testimony to God's answer to prayer. Firstly to his people, in verses 22 to 26, and then to the whole world, in verses 27 through 31. Testimony that God does hear, and he will hear the cry of his people. He does answer, and he will answer his people. He does deliver, and he will deliver. Verse 28, just look here with me. For dominions belong to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Our God does answer, because our God is sovereign. David felt forsaken. He endured scorn, he endured suffering, and he felt God was silent. Like John Patton and like many of us, he felt left alone and sorrowful in circumstances. And yet deep down was this certain faith in God. This trust that as God has helped his people in the past, as God helped David in the past, God was still God. God was the ruler of the nations, and God would deliver. And that brings us thirdly and finally to the ongoing implications. I asked earlier on, what do you make of those times when we felt forsaken by God? Those times when we felt that God just isn't there. Was David really forsaken? Was Jesus forsaken? Am I forsaken? Is there a time when God just is not there? Ben says, let's be very clear. There may come times when we are suffering in some way, and we feel alone, and we feel down, and we experience a sense of being forsaken by God. It can happen. It does happen. It is real. But we can take encouragement that David experienced. We can take encouragement that on the cross Jesus went through it, and he went through it in a way that you and I never will. I don't think we'll ever understand what it meant when Jesus spoke those words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps in pain, perhaps in the loneliness of the cross, and especially the separation of death, we begin to get some insight. There on the cross, having suffered the beatings, in those hours of agony, Jesus went through such pain. But his cries of agony, if there were any, are not what Mark and Matthew and Luke record. No, what Mark records is this cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? It records this restatement of Psalm 22, verse 1. And he records the cry, which is the pain of suffering, the pain of bearing the sins of the world, the pain of bearing the wrath of the Father, the cup which had been before Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the cup of the wrath of God in the face of a rebellious world, that cup Jesus was drinking to the last drops. And so that moment, At that moment, there was a separation between Father and Son, a separation within the indivisible Godhead, which we cannot fully comprehend. And it's that separation which brings out this cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here is the forsakenness, such as you and I, fortunately, will never have to experience. And yet, even then, the dominion belongs to God, and he rules over the nations. For though Jesus died bearing the weight of our sin, 3 days later, God the Father raised him from the dead. Friends, there had been, in Jesus' experience, the turmoil of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus cried out, take this cup from me. There had been the darkness of the long hours of suffering on the cross, where Jesus was very alone. But through shines the light of the empty tomb and the occupied throne. Friends, God is there. God does hear. And God is sovereign. And God did all this so that you and I, wretched as we are, sinful as we are, might be saved and might be restored to God as his children. We may, for many reasons, and in different ways, feel that God has forsaken us. But because of Jesus' experience on the cross, we have this certainty, this certain hope, that God is for us, God is with us, and God will save us. How deep the Father's love for us. But the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. There is forsakenness. We do at times feel that God is not there for us, and yet he is. God is not God. He is God. He does it, and he is sovereign. Father, we bow before you as the great and almighty God, and yet our hearts exult in your deep love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, as we reflect in the rest of today on these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as some of us, we feel those words, may we also be assured that you are there, that you will be, and that you are sovereign. And this we ask for your name's sake. Amen.